And no matter what happens from this day forward, God has been better to us than we've ever deserved. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that thought. If you have your Bibles, like you turn to Romans chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. If you would, in honor of God's Word, stand to your feet. And just want to not necessarily preach from this Scripture, but want to begin from this Scripture. And just want to preach today about the 4th of July and how God is involved in that. And so also want to remind you of this month's memory verse is Revelation 22:20. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And, well, wouldn't that be good that we would meet the Lord in the air? And so here, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 through 7. I want you to recognize, and the reason I'm going to start with this verse is I want you to recognize God in the midst of authority, which means the midst of any government, or in the midst of any nation. Chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are to be ordained are of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he that is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the reading of God's Word, for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the message, O God, out of Sunday school. We ask you now, Lord, lead and guide this hour. And open our eyes and our hearts. And Father, I pray that we would see God in America. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated here this morning. You think of a government, you think of a nation, you think of authority, and this is exactly how it ought to work. Right here, Romans 13 ought to be the blueprint for every nation, for every authority, for every government. Well, how does that work, by the way? Well, here's how it works. God is the power. There's none that can supersede the power of God. He is the authority. He's the God of all gods and the Lord of lords. And so there's nothing more higher than He is. He is the one of the authority. But then, anybody else who has any authority, like those that are presidents and those that are governors and those of an authority that goes all the way down to policemen and all the way down to firemen and all the way down to doctors and all those people today that have any authority or any power over us, even the little old lady that works down at the dollar store who is working that cash register, you just can't walk in there and take something and walk out without going by and paying for her. So she'd say to you, sir, you need to pay for that. That's an authority that you have to agree with or have to oblige. Amen. So where does that come from? That comes from God. So not only is He the authority, but He's the one, according to verse 1, that has ordained all authority. And then what is all that for? That's for us, that we may live in peace.
You go on to read the scripture. I'm not going to go through it, but you read it. And if you do wrong, you'll find the ministers of God taking you and causing you to be punished for the wrong you've done. It says in the scripture, if you do right or if you do good, well, then there'll be praise. So there's no way to think today when God's in charge, that He's charged, but He's given everybody else under Him authority to run and to rule. His economy, His government, His way of life, so that you and I can live in peace and live in joy and live in happiness. But it's not without His authority involved. America began that way. But today, it's not that way any longer. And that's where the problem lies. It lies in the fact that we have come to, as America, that many Americans don't believe that God's the authority. That's the problem. And many, many Americans today have lost and forgot, and even the young people today, because they don't hear this type of history any longer. They don't talk about it. They don't discuss it. And they've got in their minds, they've got in their hearts that the government, that America is evil, and America is proud, and America is arrogant, and America deserves what it's getting, and America has caused this upon herself. And yet they don't understand that they don't know where America come from and what America is doing. I want to take some things this morning and put it together, and I want to have two outcomes. The first outcome is who and what is the God of America? They say whenever they do a terrorist attack from Islam terrorists, they say that Allah is great. If you notice now, the media and the government has changed the word Allah to God. Because Allah references Islam 100%. But God represents all. I want you to understand and know by the end of the service this morning, what God is the God of America. This is important. Because see, we are in America today, not because of all the killing and all the abortion and all the homosexuality and all of the corruption in government, all the sins that you and I could point and we can mention and we can describe today. Those are just fruits. Those are just symptoms of what really happened to America. And what really happened to America is we got to know the God of America. God's a jealous God. And when you began to worship other gods and allow other gods into the place that God created, you're looking at an angry God. You're looking at a wrathful God. And all that we see today and all that we see as a way of the fruit is because we don't really care or even know what the root of the matter is. Amen? And I want you to notice at the end of this message, not only the God of America, but I want you to notice today why we are where we are today. I know many will blame the government, many will blame the Christian, many will blame the church, many will blame the home, many will blame the fathers in the home, many will blame the mothers of the home. Many will blame the educational system. Many will blame the money and the materialistic of and the prosperity of America. But really, where is America and why are we here we are? And what's going to happen? And what's next for us? I notice there in the Scripture that God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. This is not a God that's false. This is not a God that's dead. This is the living, true, holy God. And we've got to make sure that we've got to pay attention that this same God is the God that has created and has caused and founded America. And today, does that same God rule and reign America? We'll find by those who are Americans whether that's true or not. I think about July the 4th, and boy, what an important date that is for us that are Americans. We find that even before July the 4th, that this God that I'm speaking of had something to do with the establishment of America, and some days later. I think this morning of a man named Christopher Columbus. You might have mentioned or may have heard of his name before. The testimony of Christopher Columbus is this morning. He says, "At a very early age, I began to sail upon the ocean. For more than 40 years, I have sailed everywhere people go. I prayed to the most merciful Lord about my heart's great desire. He gave me the spirit and intelligence for the task. Seafaring, astronomy, geometry, arithmetic, skill in drafting maps and placing correctly the cities, rivers, mountains, and ports. I also studied cosmetology, history, chronology, and philosophy. It was the Lord who put into my mind I would feel His hand upon me to sail from here to the Indies. I am most unworthy sinner, but I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy. They have covered me completely. I have found the sweetest consolation since. I made my whole purpose to enjoy the marvelous presence. In 1502, while preparing for his fourth voyage, Columbus asked for the clergyman to assist him in the name of the Lord Jesus to spread his name in gospel everywhere." Do you recognize that God? That God is known, and Christopher Columbus was filled with Him. The Holy Ghost of God was leading him. We find even before then that God had His hand, and eventually there would be a place called America. We find in the Mayflower Compact, November the 11th, 1620, "In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King Defender of the Faith, having undertaken the glory of God, advancement of the Christian faith, and the honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation, furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue thereof to enact, constitute, and frame just such equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient in the general good for the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, Ireland, 18th, and Scotland, and 54th of 1620, in the names of those men." Do you recognize the God of the Christian? I understand on July the 2nd, in 1776, 240 years ago, was the beginning of the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world. Congress approved a complete separation from England. Why? Well, King George III and England was a tyranny on the people that are going to be Americans. And having that tyranny and having that rule upon them and sending soldiers from Britain in a battle and sending and hiring other Germans to come fight over here in America. Finally, King George said, "That's enough." And finally, these men said, "It's enough. We want our independence." And so July the 2nd, 1776, Congress approved a complete separation from England. 2 days later, on July the 4th, an early draft of our Declaration of Independence was signed. On July the 8th, Congress read it aloud from the Independence Hall, proclaiming it to a city of Philadelphia. Then rang the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell. On the Liberty Bell, there was an inscription on the top of Leviticus chapter 25, in verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Do you recognize the Christian Bible? Do you recognize it's of the Christian God? Do you see that back in Christopher Columbus' day, that it was a Christian that was headed forth, and the Mayflower Pact was filled with Christian men, the God of a Christian? We see John Adams said, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. John, he was a signer of the independence, that Declaration of Independence. He also said, celebrates this day as a day of deliverance. Deliverance from England. Deliverance from the King George III. King James III. He said, by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty, therefore the 4th of July should be a religious holiday. Do you recognize the Christian principles, dear church? John Quincy Adams said the top two holidays celebrated in the country are Christmas and the 4th of July, and the two dates are connected. Our Savior was born and our country was born. How the founding fathers took principles of Christ and His birth and incorporated them to those principles of the civil government as we have today. Let me just read a few of these today. I know that our brother has already read a few this morning, but let me read some more. The Bible says, James Madison, the 4th President of the United States of America, said, cursed be the learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. John Quincy Adams said, which is the 6th President, he said, the hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of Holy Scriptures must hope that religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Roger Sherman, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, said, I believe that there is only one living true God existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Also, he said, I believe a visible church to be a congregation of those who make a credible profession of their faith in Christ in obedience to Him and joined by the bond of a covenant. Benjamin Rush, another signer of the Declaration of Independence, a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and that in proportion as a mankind adopts its principles and obeys its precepts, they will be wise and happy. John Witherspoon, another signer of the Declaration of Independence, a clergyman, a president of Princeton University, said, whoever is a vowed enemy of God, I scruple not to call him an enemy of his country. Alexander Hamilton, another signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said, I carefully examined the evidences of the Christian religion, and if I was sitting as a juror upon its authenticity, I would unhesitantly give my verdict in its favor. Lastly, John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, President of the American Bible Society. He said, the Bible also informed them that gracious Creator has provided us a Redeemer, in whom all nations of the earth shall be blessed, that the Redeemer was made atonement for the sins of the whole world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy has opened a way to our redemption and our salvation, and that these inestimable benefits are of the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving nor our power to deserve. Does that sound like men that know God? Does that sound like the Christianity that you and I are well familiar with? Patrick Henry said, this is the book worth more than all other books which were ever printed. Robert E. Lee said, the Bible is a book of comparison, which is all others are not minor in importance. In all my perplexities and distress, the Bible never failed to give me light and strength. Daniel Webster says, there is a solid basis of civilization, but in the Word of God. If we abide the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. I'll make it my practice to read through the Bible every year. George Washington said, it is impossible rightly to govern the world without God in the Bible. Thomas Jefferson said, the Bible is a cornerstone of liberty. Woodrow Wilson said, a man has deprived himself of the best there is in the world if he has deprived himself of the Bible. Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock on which our Republic stands. Is there any doubt of 54 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Christians this morning. Any doubt in your mind as the beginning of our country that it was a Christian men. Christian beginning. Christian. The laws of God. The supreme judge of the world. If you take the Constitution, or you take the Declaration of Independence, and we take the truths of that, and we find that the Christian references that are in the Declaration of Independence, there's four of them. This is what it says. It says, it mentions the laws of nature's God. That's inside the Declaration of Independence. It says, the supreme judge of the world. It says, firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. It says that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's four references in our Declaration of Independence. Do you not see this morning that it is Christian men, it is Christian holiday, it is Christian references, it is a Christian and Christopher Columbus and the Mayflower Compact? Do you not see the thread of God, but not any God, the God that is a Christian's God? America. Christian God. Christian soldiers, listen to what George Washington said. He says, announcing the Declaration of Independence to the troops in a general order on July the 9th. This is what George Washington wrote to the troops. He said, to the general, hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as become a Christian. Soldiers defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country, knowing that now the peace and the safety of his country depends under God solely on the success of our arms. Not only did we have Christian men and Christian references and Christian holidays, but we had Christian soldiers. 54 out of 56 signers were Christians. On June the 28th, 1787, Benjamin Franklin asked to open in prayer, led by a Christian clergy. Beginning in the 1800s through the 19th century, the U.S. Capitol building served as a meeting place for worship, attended by presidents and congressmen and officials. On our money, it says, in God we trust. Our motto is, in God we trust. The Pledge of Allegiance has a statement, one nation under God. George Washington's farewell address, he says, do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. Would you agree that the God that's the God of America is the only true living God? It's the God of a Christian. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, the Bible says that God sets up nations. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says that God is over every nation. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says that God draws all nations. Psalms 96, verse 5 says that God is the only God of nations. According to our history, Egypt, Babylonian, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and Israel, I find that those nations is what God has created and has developed. Take Israel, for example, this morning. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God said, I'll make thee a great nation. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, He says, I'll make thee a holy nation. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23, it says, walk not after the manners of the nation I cast you out before. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 8. Let's read that this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm trying to lay a foundation to get you to see this morning. Well, there must be 100% belief in the truth that the God of America is the God of Isaac, Jacob, and of Abraham. It is the God of creation. It is the God of the Christian. It is the Christian's God, the God of the Bible. If we don't see that this morning, we'll not find why America's where she's at. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'll get to my message in just a moment. Verse 1 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, that the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live, go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish it aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that follow after Baal-peor, and the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." God tells them, great in a wise nation. In Psalms 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Brother Raymond mentioned this. Proverbs 14, 34 says, "Righteousness exalteth the nation." In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says that because whenever God created or God ordained Israel for a great nation, it said it would be a wise nation. It would be a nation whose God is Him. Then all of a sudden, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, Israel has become a sinful nation. Then Israel, the people of God, the children, the church of God, America, the blessed of God. As Israel fell, so will America. At one time, God has had His hand on Israel. And at this time, God is lifting His hand off of America. See, God was the one who founded America. You have your Bibles this morning. As we turn to Jeremiah, I want to begin a message this morning. Hopefully, as God spoke to Israel, He'll speak to you and I as well. But Jeremiah chapter 5. I hope there's no issue this morning about the God of America. All the proof, all the history, all the facts lead that the God of America is the God of Israel. The same God. God of the Bible. What happened to Israel? How did God found Israel? And they become a great, wise nation. How they become sinful? How did God today take His hand off of them? Look at Israel today. They got no problems. That's all they got. They got no temple. They got no high priest. They got no sacrifices. They got one wailing wall. They got confrontation in every area, in every direction. The only reason Israel still exists today is because Israel is God's people. And He made a covenant with them that He will not ever break. But Israel, they're in a horrible, horrible state. The majority of Israelites today are atheists. Today they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Word of God in the New Testament. Today you'll find that Israel is immoral, unethical. You'll find today that they don't believe the Bible as you and I believe it. Israel is in trouble. If it wasn't for God's people, they'd be eliminated. Where do we come from? We come from England. We come from that vast of religious, of tremendous of revivals and tremendous of missionary effort and the greatest preachers that ever lived and the greatest church and a people of England and back into the time of King George III. They knew the Bible. The Bible came up. I mean, matter of fact, King James of 1611, amen, is the Bible in which we have in our hands today that we can go back to as the beginning of that. So a Bible-believing, honoring people. Look at England today. Look at UK today. Look at Britain today. They're in trouble. They're in real trouble. If America this morning doesn't see where they went wrong, we're going to be right with them. So don't think this morning as a young person everything's going to be okay in 20 and 30 years. It's not. Now it can, but I want to show you what God said to Israel and that you and I that are Americans today, we must see as well or we're going to end up like Israel because Israel is doing exactly what we're doing today. God gives a challenge to Israel here in Jeremiah chapter 5. Here's the challenge that He gives them. He says, the challenge I give from God is this, is find a man. Look at verse 1. It says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. A man to do what? If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. You know what God is saying, and Brother Raymond mentioned a little bit about that this morning concerning our government. What God is saying to Israel, Israel, back in Genesis, I made you a great nation. And back in Genesis, I made you a very wise nation and a very fruitful nation. And as long as you were doing what I asked you to do in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you and I were walking together. Nobody would defeat you. Nobody would ever take over you. You're my people and I'm your God. And we will reign and rule of all the people. And you'll find after God has went to nation after nation after nation, destroying every nation, destroying every people. And the children of Israel just flowed right through. And they began to live and began to do. And God protected them. And you as a Christian this morning will know the stories of how God has taken care of Israel through all the years. But now we come to a place. God says to Israel, I want to challenge you. Go to Jerusalem. Walk in the streets to and fro. And find a man that has honesty. My question to you today is, go to Washington. And find a man that has honor, that has honesty. Find one person. And God said, I'll pardon it if you find one person that has character. That executeth judgment. We have a Washington. We have a Congress. We have senators. We have a president that is, friend, unlawful. He has done more things. He has acted upon more things. He should be out of office today. Our congressmen should be out of office. Our senators out of office because they don't do anything for the people because they are dishonest. You say, well, there may be a few in there. Show me one. We say, well, it had to be old Ted Cruz. Well, the people don't want Ted Cruz. Who's the people want? Donald Trump. The most honest guy in all the world. The most character guy of all the world. Oh, the one today that has all the righteousness. Oh, but then the other half, they voted on Hillary Clinton. Another one full of honesty. And another one full of character. And another one full of righteousness. Look in the Scripture. And the Bible says, tell me one, show me one that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. Go soul is bound between those two individuals that has been chosen for America to be the President of the United States of America, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and find righteousness and truth and judgment and find a character and find in your own honesty. Man, you can't find it. That's where America is today. Exactly where Jerusalem was. So we find we have to agree who's going to do the right thing. Who's going to do the right thing in America? Are you, as Americans this morning, secured in your heart and without a doubt in your mind that our government is going to do what's right no matter what? You got to be kidding me. They might not like this message. They might not even like me after the message. But the fact of the matter is, that's what happened to Jerusalem, and that's what's happening to America. Who wanted to do the right thing? Who meant the right thing? Look at verse 2. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. In other words, who meaneth the right thing? Who says I know the Lord and then is known by the Lord? Who says that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and then lives a Christian life? Who says that I'm indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God and then is led and guided by the Spirit of God? Who says that the church is the body of the head, which is Jesus Christ, and I will be faithful to it, and I'll be steadfast in it, and I'll serve the Lord? Who says, oh, I believe the Bible, and then walk according to the Bible? You see, many of people say, oh, the Lord liveth, but they speak falsely, because their life don't identify. You can take our government, you can take our Washington, you can take all the politicians, and I would say the majority of them would say, the Lord liveth. The Lord liveth. The Lord liveth. But their life is so far away. And their decisions that they've made is so far away. And the things that they put in the law are so far away. Far away from what? The God of gods. Now I think this morning, I don't believe our country, America, ought to have a church called the American Church. The government is not set forth for that. The church is. The same God who founded America is the same God who founded the church. And the church has the ability and the responsibility to go to win people to Christ. And the government has its own responsibilities to obey and render unto God. That's God's. Amen? Two different responsibilities, but the same God. We find today, as well in Jerusalem, God gave them a challenge. You find the challenge was not met. Don't you notice the correction? The correction by God. And I believe today that America, we hear that all the time. I believe Brother Amy may have said it this morning, about God is discipline or punishing or bringing judgment upon America. Do you not see that? Well, look in verse 3. I want you to know it's the correction of God or by God. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Not upon the people, but upon the truth. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have not refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Do you see something there? Do you see that the Bible is saying to Jerusalem, as well as it's saying to America, He says, I have stricken you. I have brought many, many things in your life. Brother Raymond's mentioned some of them. It may be a storm. It may be heat. It may be economic. It may be a disease. It may be all kinds of other things this morning that which we can mention and bring forth. But the fact of the matter is God has allowed those things to come upon America. And America today in 2016 is still not grieving. They're not grieving. All that God's done, all that God is bringing forth. I mean, God's allowing the terrorists and Islamic jihadists to come into the land of the free. And He's coming to the place that God has founded. He's allowed them to come in and kill our people. And our people are still not grieving. What else He has to do? Open up like in day of Korah? What else has He got to do? The days of Noah? What's He got to do in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah where the whole city's burned up to get people to grieve? Oh, the second thing I noticed, that the Bible says that they had no grieving, but no, secondly, they had no receiving. Verse 3, the Bible says He's corrected them that they refused to receive the correction. I mean, Fred, if we look at our world and look at America and look where we are today, and we can see that God is correcting and God is disciplining and God is bringing on judgment, but we're not receiving it. We're looking past it. We're looking over it. We're saying it's global warming. What we're saying, a lot of things, except, listen, God is correcting us, and we need to receive the correction, but there's no receiving. No receiving. Thirdly, I noticed no turning. He says in verse 3, they have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. Our country was based and built upon God and His Word, and that's the fact. Not on Allah, not on Buddha, not on Confucius, not on any other God, but only the God of God and the Lord of Lords. Friend, we find Him this morning to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Creator of the world, the God that came down in flesh and died amongst the people and shed His precious blood and was buried and resurrected on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and one day He's coming back. That God is the God of America. And that God this morning is saying, I am trying to correct you. I am trying to tell you, but you will not return. You're harder than you've ever been before. Harder. Jerusalem. The Bible says, look at verse 4. He said, I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. In other words, not is there no turning, but there's no returning. God says, you broke the yoke. You burst the bonds. You went too far now. Could it be this morning as Jerusalem went too far? Could it be that America has went too far? I'm not understanding why Christian people, why are we still fighting and still arguing over this silly, stupid thing? Why are we still bickering within husbands and wives over a color of a wall, or whether a plant, or whether what kind of tree to plant? Why is a people today still fighting and bickering and arguing and bringing up problems and bringing up the past and bringing up decisions and causes trouble within the home, within the church, within the people? And we've got America that has went too far. Wake up! You have a wife. You have a husband. You have a children. You better fall on your face before God and ask God to forgive you of your sins and mend and take all that is wrong to come right and come together and unify. You're going to need that. Church can't be splintered. The homes can't be divided on rocks. Mature! Grow up! America, according to God, has broken the yoke. Oh, there's so much more important things than the silliness. I get so frustrated. I get frustrated in my own home. I get frustrated in your home. I get frustrated in this church. I get frustrated at work. I get frustrated in places I go of the silly, stupid, immature, baby-like, pacifier-sucking people. And we've got America that will not return to God. Oh yeah, that's right. 2 Corinthians 7:14 is the answer. But have we went too far? Oh, correction. Oh, challenge. Oh, but look at the conclusion that God brought to Israel. Verse 6. You see, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. See, when you go too far, it's over. Now listen to me closely. I won't be very long. Brother Raymond gave me an hour and a half this morning. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. I notice destruction's coming to Israel. Friend, destruction's coming to America. The same God that made Israel is the same God that made America. What He expects out of Israel, He expects out of us. And that is to worship Him and Him alone. To have no other gods in our lives. But not only that, secondly, and I was going to tell you this right now, to not allow any other gods in your land. And to worship those gods. That's right. Yeah. Oh, the little progressive, liberal people, they may say, listen, you know, we've got to give freedom to everybody to worship whatever God they want to worship. But remember the high power? He said, that ain't going to happen. And if that does happen, destruction's coming your way. You know why America's going to be destroyed? Because we worship another God. We're worshiping a God called Allah. Worshiping a God of the 330 million of them, of Hindus. We're worshiping a God of a Buddha. Worshiping God of materialism. Worshiping God of people and things. When America becomes a great show and a great wonder, when all the Christians, and not all, but the majority of the Christians, just fall all over the American idol. You know where our minds are at. We spend millions and billions on football players and baseball players and basketball players and singers and movie stars, movies and places and things like that. Billions of dollars. We give more to that than we give to missions. You look at your checkbook. You check out your money. As much as you give to the church, as much as you give to missions, is it equal to what you give to entertainment? You'll find entertainment's a little bit more. Destruction. Verse 7. Division. He says, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no God. When I had fed them to full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots. These people made division with me. They forsook me and they had other gods. You know where the fall of America is? Other gods. We've allowed other gods to come into America and we've allowed Americans to worship those gods. We are now under the tyranny of Islam, where Islam is ruling our government, ruling the mind of our president, is eventually going to move into a law of the Muslims. And you're going to find that they have more protection now. They've got more of our government today than officials that are not protecting them, but against Christians.
Now how can we, as a people of America, say that we were born in God and today another God has more power and authority than that God? America. It ain't because we've done wrong. It's because we have forsaken God. And now we've chose other gods. So it says in verse 7, so the conclusion of Israel is destruction, division, but then damnation. Look at verse 8. They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone night after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? He's not just referring to Israel there. He's referring to any nation that takes not Him as their God. So there's going to be damnation avenged on such nations. Like what? Well, look there. Look at verse 7. Forsaken God. That's what they did. In verse 7, they allowed other gods in their nation. Verse 7, they turned away from God. Verse 7 and verse 8, they worshiped false gods. This is a great offense to God, which causes His vengeance. And that's what took place in Jerusalem. And that's what's going to take place in America. It's not our abortions. It's not our homosexuality. It's not changing marriage to same-sex marriage. All that are symptoms and all that is fruit from the fact that we have turned from the God of gods and the Lord of lords. From our very existence have we turned from that. Lastly, the consequences of God. I want you to look there in verse 10. I try to do quick here. What has happened now to Israel because of their removal of God in their nation? Well, number one, the protection's gone. Look at verse 10. Go you up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. So God says, you no longer have any national security. You see, in America was built. God protected America. I believe that with all my heart. You can take the 240 years of America, look at the protection that we've had. God said, okay, you don't want me to be your God? You want to commit adultery, which is idolatry? You want to be that away? I tell you what, I just put my protection off of America. And boy, America is getting hit. In all kinds of ways. Disease, weather, famines, economics, jihad, murders. Talking about mothers today. Killing their children. There was another mother who slit the throat of her four children. They died. There's fathers out there killing children. There's a lot of fathers out there that are killing the mother of their children than killing themselves. We're finding a craze going on. What's going on? Divine protection of the nation is now relieved. Nor is there a national safety gone, but there'll be a social safety gone. Look there in verse 12. They have beliled the Lord and said, it is not He, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. Well, they say it. They're saying, hey, listen, don't worry about us having God of gods. There'll be no sword come our way. Oh, really? That sword would be like a gun or something like that to us. Oh, there'll be no famine. Oh, really? Socially, Jerusalem was the protection of God was lifted off of them. Because there was sword and there was famine. Socially, look at our social. Not only our national. Look at the social of America. It's horrible. It's one pathetic, painting place. I mean, listen, I can't hardly understand why people even still have Facebook. I mean, they're on Facebook. I don't have one, but everybody that I talk to has one. And they say to me, hey, so-and-so went so-and-so, and they went there, and they did this. How do you know all that? Well, they kept you. Oh, we went to the zoo. Oh, we did this. Oh, I'm with him. Oh, we went there. Oh, yeah, we ate that. Yeah, I had 12 shrimp. He had 10 shrimp. I mean, you're just detailing your whole life out. Why you do that? Why you put pictures of your family on the social media so that everybody in the world can know who your family is? Why you do that? Why you tell all your stuff? And then why, as a nosy, busybody people, that they want to get into everybody else's business? And we wonder why, what's wrong with all of us? Amen, Brother Larry. Since I've had Facebook, I've drawn closer to God. You talk to the lawyers, not only the divorce lawyers. They say, when divorce comes in, and they want a divorce, the first thing we go to is social media. And we find dirt on them immediately. When people come in for getting a divorce, and to determine whether who gets custody of the children, they go right onto that Facebook, social media, and that determines everything. Because, I mean, it's like this. Here's a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and the guy says, oh, I protect my children at all times. And they got a picture of him, the children on top of the boat out in the middle of the lake going 50 miles an hour, and the kids are just holding them. That looks like safety to you? Right? I mean, I got to get off of that. There's religious safety gone. Look at verse 13. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Now our churches, now our religious, now those that teach and preach, they become unprotected from God. You know what happens when somebody becomes unprotected from God? They can tell you what Joel Osteen tells you. No God in that. I know we don't got a very big congregation, but I promise you all week long I'm bowing and seeking God, seeking His face for 3 messages for the week that will build and that will help and that will bring forth God's people and maybe sinners come to know Jesus. And I need God's hand. I need God's help. I need God's blessing. I need God's breath. I need God's power. I need God's anointing. And I don't want to say anything or do anything that's going to embarrass Him or to shame the church or cause any trouble with anybody, with anyone, because I want God to speak to my heart. And by doing that, you find that God has a hand in that. Oh, but when God just going to give religious protection, all things gone. Don't matter what God you have. Don't matter what you serve. It don't matter what you do in service. Not only is the protection gone, but provision is gone. Look at verse 15. Well, won't you notice this now? We're getting close to the end. It says, well, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. A nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is as an open sepulchre. They are all mighty men. And they shall eat up thine harvest, thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees, and they shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trusted with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. And it shall come to pass when you say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land. See how God keep on going back to that? So shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. What's God saying? God saying, Israel, Jerusalem, because you serve strange gods, you let strange gods come into your land, there's coming a day when there's going to be another nation, another people. They're going to come into your land, and they're going to take your land. That land won't be yours anymore, but you'll be a servant in your own land. And they'll take all your vineyards, they'll take all your fenced houses, they'll take all that you've got, all that you have, and it'll be theirs and not yours. That's happening. Won't you try to check out somewhere how much China owns of America? Check it out. Check it out how many Pakistanians are down at the local store. How many Indian people are there in the grocery stores, in the filling stations? Friend, I'm not just telling you to blow smoke this morning. I'm telling you that these people from another nation with a different language is coming into America and taking over. While we're sucking our lollipops. And arguing with each other over the color of the house. The provision's gone. Another nation will take over. Another people will take over. Another law will take over. There in verse 19, it talks about another law taking over. Oh, can I say the pardon is gone? Look, verses 20 through 23. It says, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear you not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence? Have you not placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet it cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath revolting and rebellious heart. They are revoked, or revolted, and gone. Their condition. Man, they're gone. Can I say to you with a heart of hearts, as I look at America, it's gone. Now, could there be revival? Yes. Could God graciously restore? Yes. Do we still have hope? Yes. But it's gone. Not because of its sin, and not because of its wickedness, but because of its view and belief in God. It has chosen another God. Or gods. Their decision, verse 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both of former and latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good things from you. Goes on and says, and among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he set his snares and set a trap, and they catch men as a cage is full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen rich, they are shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause, the cause of the followers. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Very clear, very plain. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged in such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What's God saying? God's saying, man, you're prosperous, you got everything, you're waxing fat, it seems like everything's beautiful, everybody's got money, everybody's got things, but you are a horrible and terrible thing you've done. Deceptions in your home, deceptions in the church, deceptions in the government. Listen, the pardon is gone. God's not going to pardon us because of the condition we're in. That is, we don't want to fear God. He's not going to pardon us because of the decisions we're making. I don't want to. And in verse 31, and I close, God's not going to pardon us because of the situation we're in. Look at verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love it. Love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? You know why pardon's gone? Because the situation you were in, people love it this way. You talk to anybody but a Christian, and we're living in some good times. You talk to anybody anywhere about America today, we've got it made in every way. I mean, think about it. We are the top on everything. We got freedoms, homosexuals, abortions, alcohol, drugs, marijuana is becoming legal. You worship any God you want to. Go to any church you'd like. Where are that everybody has everything they want. Money, you can do this, you can do that. You can buy this, you can sell that. Hey, we see people in the government doing wrong. Everybody turns their head and nobody does anything. Listen, you go out there and kill a dog, you'll get 20 years in prison. You go out there and kill a person, you get 6 months and out. You go out there and beat a dog and somebody take a picture of you beating a dog, then you're going to be under the jail. You beat somebody up out there like a man beating up a woman and they look at you and call it domestic and they go to jail for a few days and you're out. All right? It's gone, man. Do you see where America's went wrong? We went wrong because somewhere down the line we've chosen a different God. And now we are where we are. A corrupt nation. Our religion's corrupt. People are corrupt. That's the way they like it. That's the way it's going to be. The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forgets God. Now as a Christian today, we got hope because we're going to heaven when we die. And we got hope because God's going to bless us in the midst of all this mess. And you're not going to be encouraged today because we've got God who's watching us and leading us and guiding us. And He loves us. He'll never forsake us, nor will He leave us. And so today, as a Christian, we are well set. It should be well with your soul. But as far as America, you'll be well in prayer. Amen? Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. Not only has America turned their back on God, but America has allowed other gods to come in America. And because of that, this morning, we find God avenging a nation such as this. Well, as Christians today, we've got to get our lives in tune with God. Oh, we've got to do more for the Lord. If you need to come to the altar this morning, you come even now. Some have come. Would you come? You sing, Brother George, and we'll not tarry long here. Would you cry for our nation? Would you cry out for America this morning on the 4th of July? Would you cry out? Would you beg God for forgiveness? Would you beg God for mercy?